Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Father, even as we sang, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us remember, Lord, it starts with me individually. As we prepare to open your word, we pray that your Spirit will enable us to understand the deep truths that you have in store for us this morning. Lord, we desire to hear your word. So please honor this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 32. Book of Numbers, chapter 32 and verse 12. It's a very familiar scripture verse for us. Chapter 32, verse 12. Here we read, "Except Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord." I would like for you to focus on that phrase, "for they have wholly followed the Lord." Now the background, as you know, here's the children of Israel. They have left Egypt, and as they are entering the promised land, the children of Reuben, they desire to settle before they cross the Jordan. And Moses is saying, look, if you settle down here, the other people will be disheartened. And he is giving an example of two people of that entire generation that left Israel. Only two entered into the promised land. And out of that two, we have basically the two people, Joshua and Caleb. And this morning, as we are entering into this new year, I would like for us to focus on this one individual, Joshua, the man who wholly followed the Lord. And when we look back, 2004, the year is completed. And which one of us can say, if the Lord were to describe us, He would say that we have wholly followed the Lord. And I pray that this morning we are going to look at six characteristics of the man who followed the Lord with his whole heart. And my prayer is, as we enter into this new year, that these six characteristics will be true in our own life. I want you to truly look at this message today as a challenge for you and for me as we enter into this brand new year. The phrase, wholly followed the Lord, depending on what translation you use, also is found as followed the Lord fully, as the NASB puts it, or followed the Lord wholeheartedly, as NIV states. See, this individual, Joshua, the name literally means the Lord is salvation. In fact, the Hebrew term Yeshua is the word translated Jesus, which means the Lord is salvation. So you can understand the word Joshua in the Old Testament literally is the word Jesus in the New Testament. The Lord is salvation. And this man, Joshua, completely, wholeheartedly, in other words, his entire heart was completely devoted to the Lord. And we see, as I mentioned, six characteristics. And I want us to look at six characteristics that were true in this man Joshua's life. And I pray that those would be true in our life also. First of all, Joshua submitted to godly authority. Joshua submitted to godly authority. Look at Exodus chapter 17. Here we are introduced to this man Joshua. In Exodus 17, verses 8 through 13, here we see the children of Israel are going to war with the Amalekites. We read in verse 8, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.'" Notice verse 10. "So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on each side and other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." Notice verse 10. Joshua did as Moses said to him. And here's the first principle that we see. The one who desires to follow the Lord with his whole heart will submit to godly authority. Joshua knew Moses was a man of God. Joshua knew that Moses was appointed by God to lead the people out of Israel. And Joshua submitted to Moses. He did as Moses said to him. He did not follow just any man. He followed a man of God, because this man of God followed God. Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 11. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. In Hebrews 13:17, the church is called to submit to the leadership. It says, obey those who rule over you. Not just human beings we're called to obey. Those who rule over you according to the word of God. We're not just to obey anybody. According people who are obeying the word of God, then we ought to submit to them. So the first principle we see for the man who followed the Lord with his whole heart is he exhibited this humility. He submitted godly authority. We are introduced to Joshua. And the first thing that we see is he did as Moses said to him. He submitted. He submitted to godly authority. Secondly, he sought to be in God's presence. He sought to be in God's presence. Where do we find that? Move over to chapter 33 of Exodus. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. A very, very profound and wonderful principle we learn here. Exodus 33, verse 11. We see, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, notice this, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. A young man did not depart from the tabernacle. Notice this beautiful phrase here. Did not depart from the tabernacle. And it's a point that is made. Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man. Listen, if we desire to follow the Lord with our whole heart, we must spend time in God's presence. We must spend time. See, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was the physical place where God showed His presence. Where God manifested His presence, we see the Shekinah glory. God literally, in a physical sense, showed His presence in the tabernacle. And Joshua, the young man, probably there were all the people out there. He could have easily had a lot of fun with the people. And I'm sure as Moses' assistant, he had a lot of tasks that he had to accomplish also. Still Scripture says his primary focus was to be in the presence of God. You see, we can desire with all our hearts as much as we want to, that we want to follow the Lord with our whole heart. But if you do not take time individually to be in the presence of the Lord, your quiet time, praying, and we will look at reading the scriptures also, that's one of the principles that we will be touching on later on. But see, the world calls for our attention. There are so many things that demand our attention. But if you do not spend time personally in God's presence, and if you do not look at that as the longing of your heart, whatever you do, in the back of your mind, if your longing is, how soon can I complete this so that I can make sure I spend time with the Lord, you will fail to follow the Lord with your whole heart, because it is so important. It is so important for the Christian who longs to follow the Lord with his whole heart to spend time individually in God's presence. My friends, everything starts with your individual time with the Lord. Family worship also is only secondary. Even coming to the church, it follows only after that. See, I would not want to say, okay, as long as you come to the church every Sunday, as long as you attend Bible studies, prayer meetings, those are all good. But if you do not individually spend time with the Lord, if you do not seek God's presence individually, my friends, you have failed in the basic principle. Everything else could become just as a checkbox. And even individual time with the Lord sometimes can become a checkbox. Okay, I have to read my chapter today. I have to say my prayer today. You're half asleep. And you say, okay, Lord, I pray. Because, you know, not praying is not a good thing. My friends, that's not how it should be. Everything else should be in subjection to spending time in God's presence. So we see Joshua, he made sure that he stayed in the presence of God. So, the man who follows the Lord with his whole heart not only submits to godly authority, he seeks to be in God's presence. And thirdly, he stands separate from the crowd. Joshua stood separate from the crowd. Where do we find that? Numbers chapter 13. Move over a couple of books from Exodus.
in Numbers 13. Here you are all very familiar with this. The land of Canaan is there. The 12 spies are sent into this land. Just go spy out the land and come. And that is their task. In Numbers 13 we read, "And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now notice that in verse 2, he says, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving. Here is God's promise, I am giving. But you send these spies out, I want them to survey the land. So as you read through the entire chapter, we see all these 12 spies, they go, they stay there for 40 days. 40 days they stay there, they survey the land, they see that the land is good, everything is great. Then they come back. Look at verse 26, or verse 25 says, they return from spying out the land after 40 days. And from verse 26 on, we see there are two groups of people here. Two groups of people. Let's see the reaction of both these groups. We see now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and are very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Now notice this, and if you move over to chapter 14, from verses 6 through 10, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children of Israel. Now notice this. Only two people are looking at the promises of God. They're trusting in God. But whereas these 10 people, they went and they polluted the entire congregation, all they could see were the problems. All they could see were the giants. All they could see were themselves as grasshoppers. And in fact, if you look at chapter 14 verse 2, they complain, oh, we could have died in the land of Egypt, only if we had died at this wilderness. And verse 3 it says, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? You see, they were trying to show all the negative reasons. But here, Joshua, he stands separate from the crowd along with Caleb. He says, no, no matter how it may seem, the Lord delights in us. See, you see, in chapter 13, already the Lord said, I am giving this land to you. I am giving this to you. You trust in me. But these people, the 10, along with the other people, they were so afraid. And it would have been very easy for Joshua and Caleb to be people pleasers. They could have just gone with the crowd. Imagine two people standing against a whole crowd, and this whole crowd is waiting to stone them. But they said, no, we will stand separate. We will not be people pleasers. We will not go with the crowd just to please people. You see, Joshua trusted in God, even if others did not. He did not compromise his views because others did not share it. Joshua stood separate. See, It's very, very easy, my friends, to if you're trying to start pleasing every single individual, you will not be able to please God. Now, I don't mean, you know, we should stand separate just because we're trying to prove a point. But when the Word of God is clear, not trusting in Him is sin. See, I remember this interesting illustration that I saw. There was this man, he opened up a new fish store and he put up this sign, fresh fish for sale today. This was the opening day. So a lot of people came to this store. And many came, you know, they congratulated him on his new business. And they said, one of the individuals came and told him, why the today? His sign was fresh fish for sale today. Why today? It is today. Anyway, when people come to the store, it is today. So remove the word today. So he wanted to please that individual. He removed that word today. Someone else said, why do you have that sign for sale? After all, you're opening a store. People know it is for sale. So he said, okay, I'll remove the for sale also. You've got fresh fish. Then another individual came and said, you see, everybody knows you. You are a man of integrity. You will not sell stale fish. Why do you have to say fresh fish as though you are selling, you know, stale fish? Remove the word fresh. So now only the word fish is hanging in that store sign. Somebody else came and said, you know, two blocks from here we could smell. This is a fish store. Why even say advertise fish? Even remove that. So finally he removed the entire sign. You see the point there. Sometimes we can so give in to people where you just about cater to everyone's needs. If you start compromising, one by one everything will start coming down. That's the point. This man should have put the sign and stayed by it. And it is very important, my friends, if we end up compromising, in the end we will end up serving the devil. That's the point. For many, many Christians, opinions of others around them matter so much. But for the committed Christian who thirsts after Christ, he will follow Christ irrespective of what other person thinks. Irrespective of what the next individual thinks. A true Christian follows even when the pretenders fall away. True Christian follows no matter what. And Joshua and Caleb, they stood their ground. Even if you're going to stone us with stones, no, we will not turn. We know what God's word says. We know. We will stand. You see, many of you may have heard of the name Martin Luther, the man who started the Reformation, who sounded the cry that can still be heard today. Martin Luther, an Augustinian monk, he stood for the biblical faith, that we are saved only by faith. He was brought before councils. In fact, when he was brought before the king, he was asked to deny the faith. Martin Luther was told, if you deny the faith, your life will be spared. All your writings, everything, you say that those were wrong and withdraw them, we will spare your life. And these were Martin Luther's words. And I quote Martin Luther. He boldly said, unless I am convinced by scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant, meaning withdraw, anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen. End quote. These were Martin Luther's words. You see, I love that, love those phrases. He said, my conscience is captive to the word of God. And he says, to go against the conscience is neither right nor safe. My friends, that is very, very important. To go against your conscience, it's not right and it's never safe also. Because you never know how far sin will lead you. Before you realize, sin will lead you farther than you intended to go. You see, Martin Luther, like Joshua, did not go with the crowd that compromised. Because many during the period of Reformation, when their life was at stake, they denied. Many denied fear of life. But Martin Luther feared him who had power, not only over the body, but also over the soul. Over the soul. You see, my friends, we need to stand firm to the truths of Scripture. However, we cannot stand firm to the Scriptures if we do not study the Scriptures diligently. Which leads me to the fourth characteristic. The man who follows the Lord with his whole heart studies the Scriptures diligently. See, you cannot stand firm for your convictions if your convictions are not based on the truth of Scripture. And in order for you to understand the truth of Scriptures, you must be a sincere student of the scriptures, look at Joshua chapter 1. Here we see Joshua's commitments to the word of God. We memorize this. In fact, we teach this to little children. Sunday school is a memory verse for the little children. Look at Joshua chapter 1 in verse 6. Here's God speaking to Joshua, and later we see in Joshua 23, Joshua puts this to practice and he tells the congregation as his farewell address also. We read in verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Notice this, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And notice this, he's talking about be strong and of good courage, do everything, but within the context he states very clearly, meditate on the truths, you observe everything according to all that is written, which means in order for me to observe what is written, I need to know what is written, which means I need to study the scriptures diligently. That is why in Deuteronomy we read Moses saying, you know, write it on your foreheads, write it on your doorpost. It's not just hanging signs here and there. The literal thing is, it first must be written in the heart. It first must be written in the heart. That is why Moses, when he states that in Deuteronomy 6 verse 6, he says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." First he says it shall be in your heart. Then he says it shall be in your doorposts, it shall be in your foreheads and so forth. So my friends, it starts with us studying the scriptures diligently. The psalmist in Psalm 119 verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." All the day. In other words, we must be scripture conscious. That doesn't mean you sit in a room and keep reading the Bible all day long. That is not what the word of God says. You need to have your time of studying the scriptures diligently and have a process of meditating throughout the day. Remember, God's word is what is going to guide us. Spirit of God does not work independent of the word of God. We need to set apart time. And I pray, you know, as you're going through this, don't just again isolate this for some individual called Joshua or some superior Christian. This is for every single individual. The word of God is given for each and every one of us. In fact, in Psalm 119 verse 165, it says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." See, we see many times people say, and it's the longing of our own heart to, "Lord, I don't want to make a mistake. Whatever decision I make, I want it to be a godly decision. I don't want to lead a life of failures. I want to have peace in my heart." Scripture here says, "Great peace have those who love your law." You're seeking peace? My friends, here is a solution. Jesus says, "I am the Prince of Peace." And he said the Holy Spirit is the one who will give us that peace. And how does he give? Through the word of God. "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." When you dedicate yourself to scripture reading, my friends, you will have that peace that passeth all understanding, completely fill your heart. In fact, in Isaiah 66:2, God says, "On this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." Who trembles at my word. We must have that kind of an attitude towards scriptures. You see, many, many people have given their life. Many, many, many people have shed their blood so that you and I can have this Bible, which we take so casually. In many, many homes, the Bible just sits on the shelf, gathers dust. Or it comes down on some specific occasions. Oh, today so-and-so is coming, let us take the Bible. Or today there is an occasion, we need to read the Bible. My friends, that should not be the case. For the one who longs to follow the Lord with his whole heart, God gave us this word. Jesus said, "Scripture cannot be broken." There is a great emphasis on God's word. You see, we long to hear whenever there is a crisis, whenever there is a tragedy, when the president or the prime minister addresses the nation, you sit in, immediately try to catch their attention. Oh, so and so said this. When a CEO has a company-wide meeting, everyone is there. What is he going to say? Are there going to be layoffs? What is going to happen? But here is the King of the universe speaking. Do we have time for His Word? Do we study the Word diligently? My friend, if you desire to follow the Lord with your whole heart, you need to study the Scriptures diligently. You see, it is very, very easy. It is very, very easy to get caught up with other things. I pray that you would have a sincere desire. Have a discipline of studying the Word of God. Whatever time it may be, I'm not going to set you a time frame, nor am I going to say, you know, you should read one chapter a day. Whatever it is, you be disciplined and the Spirit of God will help you. Be disciplined morning and evening. Be disciplined. You set aside some time, study Scriptures diligently, and God will start revealing more and more truth to you, more and more understanding. So we see the man who desires to follow the Lord with the whole heart submits to godly authority, seeks to be in God's presence, stands separate from the crowd, studies the Scriptures diligently, and fifthly, strives for total obedience. Strives for total obedience. Look at Joshua chapter 6. And I'm not going to read this whole chapter for you. Here, you are all very familiar. The city of Jericho. God has given the city of Jericho to the Israelites. They are surrounding and the walls come down. And they go inside. God's command is very clear. Destroy everything. Destroy everything. And we see Joshua. Look at verse 17. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, here's Joshua's command. This is Joshua's command to the nation. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed. When you take off the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And look at verse 24. They burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Now notice Joshua's command. Joshua is very, very clear. He says, this is God's command. Don't touch any of those things. They may seem attractive. Do not touch them. Completely destroy them. You must not be tempted. See, as people go on to destroy, the temptation is, oh, there are such beautiful things. Why destroy them? After all, they are things. Why not bring those things? In this case, God had clearly commanded, do not do this. You must burn them entirely. Joshua very clearly stated the command and he obeyed. He obeyed. He did not question God's wisdom. He did not question God's command. He knew this is what God said. We should do this. But there was one man. The man Achan. The man Achan saw. He coveted. And he took some of the things and hid them in his camp. And that came out. When you read Joshua 7, you see that. That came out. And what was Joshua's reaction? If you look at from verses 22 through 25. So Joshua sent messengers. And they ran to the tent. This is Achan's tent. And there it was hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones. And they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. You see, here also Joshua completely carried out God's command. God had already said, if anyone disobeys, they are going to be accursed. And these people disobeyed. And Joshua led that punishment. He did not waver in God's commandments. In other words, for Joshua it was total obedience. Not doing 90% and then disobeying in 10%. You see, there was no rethinking. And many Christians, you know, they fail to obey God fully. They will take a stand. They will go up to that point. But right when it needs to cross the Red Sea, they don't. They don't. How sad it is. See, we cannot negotiate with Satan. We cannot negotiate with sin. Once you know something is wrong, there is no point of negotiation. Many times, you hear people, well, I'm praying about certain things. My friends, when God's word is very clear not to do something or to do something, we should not pray, if this is what you want me to do, we should rather pray, God, give me the strength to do or not to do what you have stated. See, we don't sit around and pray, God, is it your will for me to steal this? Or God, is it your will for me to commit adultery? No. We pray, God, help me not to steal. Help me not to. In the same way, in everything, we must have a clear, even in our prayer, we must be clear. Because if we start negotiating even in our prayers, believe me, you are going to fall. You will fall. Because right away you're starting with the process, you have the back door right there open. You're looking at the back door. While you're trying to stay, you're looking at the back door. And it's just a matter of time before you start walking through that back door. I remember reading this very, very interesting illustration. You know, this individual had titled this as Don't Negotiate with Satan, and gave this illustration. He talked about this hunter going to hunt, and he sees this large bear comes in front of him. So he lifts his rifle, he takes aim, he wants to shoot at the bear. Just as he's about to pull the trigger, the bear, you know, in a very soft, soothing voice says, isn't it better to talk than to shoot? What do you want? Let us negotiate. So the hunter, you know, he lowers his rifle, and the hunter says, you know, basically all I want is a fur coat. You know, if I kill you, I can get this nice coat. And the bear said, well, that's not a bad thought at all. You know, what I want is a full stomach. Now, you want a fur coat, I want a full stomach. So let us try and negotiate a compromise. So they talked for a while, and after a time the bear walked away alone. The negotiations were complete. The bear had a full stomach, and the hunter had his fur coat. He was inside the bear's stomach. You see, my friends, that is exactly what will happen when you negotiate. With sin, that is exactly what will happen. When you dabble with that, you may not, as I mentioned earlier, you may not think that, oh, I don't want to go to that extreme. But the minute you take one step away from what is right, before you realize another step, then you'll think, what happened? I once used to love the Lord so much. I once was walking so close, I was on so much fire. All the years have gone by, and here I am, far away from God. The desire is there, but because you have negotiated, because you have talked it over. My friends, there is no talking over with sin. You talk to Christ. Nowhere in Scripture says you talk to the devil. You talk to Christ. Let Him handle the situation. You see, sin takes us farther than we intend to. Let us remember that. We must strive for total obedience. Complete. And this kind of goes hand in hand with that standing separate. Because many times you want to go with the crowd, that is where the negotiation process starts. Because you want to fit in. Oh, I want to be part, I really don't want to stick out like a sore thumb. My friends, Jesus has very clearly said, light cannot commingle with darkness. It is very clear, light will dispel the darkness, or darkness will try to quench the light. It's your choice. It's your choice. The minute a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Remember that. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, because sin is so deceitful. Sin is so deceitful. And don't negotiate under the guidance of prayer. Oh, I'm praying. No, when you know something is right, pray for strength to overcome that. Don't pray to seek God's will when God's will is clearly laid out. In some cases, yes, we don't know. We pray, Lord, what is your will? But when you know what God wants you to do, pray that God will help you to do that. Pray for strength to obey. Total obedience. Sixthly and lastly, Joshua strongly influenced others. Joshua strongly influenced others. You see, the man who follows the Lord with his whole heart will have a positive influence on others. Look at Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2 and verse 7. Verse 7 on we read, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Notice this, people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and those elders who were with him. Joshua had such a positive influence. Look at verse 8 now, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath Heres, in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gash. When all the generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which He had done for Israel. Look at verse 11. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Now notice this. when Joshua was alive. See, because he was a man of God, he strived to be completely obedient to God. He followed the Lord with his whole heart, and he influenced the elders, and the elders influenced the entire congregation. What happened after that? When godly presence or godly people go away, naturally there is a decline. So you see, my friends, you may think, well, I'm just a single Christian. I'm just one person. What impact can I make? What effect can I have? My friends, God works with the minority. God worked with one family, Noah's family. Just one family in the whole world. We recently saw the disaster. Almost like a glimpse, people were eating, drinking, marrying and happily given in marriage. They went to bed, they woke up. What happened? It's a very tragic thing. But my friends, what is there to say that you and I will not have that same experience? Oh, it may not be through a disaster like that. We could pass away. We can go to bed and not wake up. I just heard one of the individuals that all of you know, Alex and Geeta. Geeta's mother, she passed away. I talked to her a couple of days ago. She had passed away, 61 years old. Overall good health. She had woken up that morning. She had gone for walking. She came back home. All of a sudden, she complained of chest pain. They took her to the hospital. In the way to the hospital, on the way to the hospital, she passed away. Total shock. We think, you know, somehow all these stories are for somebody else, somewhere. Either we hear it through telephone or through TV or through internet, whatever. But somehow we think we are immune to that. My friends, your life and my life is in God's hand. We don't know how long we have to live. Have you set all things right before God? And if you walk in obedience, you let the Lord use you in whatever way He wants to use you. But one thing is for sure, if you are committed to following the Lord with your whole heart, you will make a difference for Christ's kingdom. Don't worry about if others fall down. Don't worry about if others compromise. You stand. Even if you are the only man standing, only woman standing, you stand. Even if everyone are willing to stone you with stones, you stand for Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed for standing for Jesus Christ, even if you are rejected by the whole world. That's okay. That's okay. In fact, the world rejects Him. He said, they rejected Me, they will reject you also. Also, see, 110 years, He died, a man who followed the Lord with his whole heart. The same thing I see in the Apostle Paul's life. He says in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 and 7, just listen. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of My departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." My friends, if God were to say, "I'm giving you 24 hours. I'm going to call you into My presence in 24 hours. Can that be the testimony of you and me? Can we say, "Lord, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Or we say, "Lord, so many opportunities You gave me, Lord. I failed, oh Lord. I failed. I am ashamed. I am ashamed of my life." You see, my friends, we can never fully do what we possibly can. But let's not use that as an excuse and not do, not strive. God will enable us. See, the Spirit of God is granted to us so that we can walk in a manner that pleases God. Let us not compromise. Let us not do the same things that we did in 2004. Look back at 2004. How many areas you have grieved the Lord? How many times you failed to submit to godly authority? How many times you failed to be in God's presence? How many times you failed to stand separate from the crowd, but you just were men pleasers? How many times you failed to study the Scripture diligently? How many times you never obeyed fully? You took the step, but you never strived for total obedience. How many times, rather than strongly influencing others in a positive manner, you actually were a stumbling block to many other people? My friends, do you want to do the same thing for 2005? I pray that the Spirit of God will help all of us this morning. Let us seek the Lord's face with the true brokenness. "God, I desire to follow You with my whole heart." 1 year is over. Paul said, "I forget what is behind. I look forward to what is ahead." We cannot just blot out everything that is behind. We learn from our failures in the past and make sure that we don't do the same things in the future. Challenges will be there. Christ did not promise an easy life for those who belong to Him. However, He promised by His Spirit He will enable them to be conquerors if they are willing to bear the cost and to trust in Him. Jesus said, "Be faithful until death. Be faithful until death." Many started 2004, did not complete it. We don't know how many of us will be alive to complete 2005. We do not know. Perhaps the Lord will come. That would be the greatest thing. Perhaps the Lord will come and will take us. Are we ready? Are we ready? See, this whole message is meaningless if you have not fully given your heart to Jesus Christ, if you have not trusted in Him as your Lord and Savior, if you have not repented of your sins and cast yourself at His feet and begged Him for mercy and asked Him to become your Lord and Savior. If you have not been born again, this whole message is a useless message for you, because it starts with first trusting in Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If that has happened, I would pray that you will dedicate your entire life, starting from this day, God, You help me. You help me. You live through me. I cannot do this on my own. You live through me. Let me be pleasing to You. Let me be a man of whom You can say, He followed me with His whole heart. You see, God wants all of our heart, not just a piece of it. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for this ever timely reminder. We thank You for this man, Joshua, the man of God, who followed You with his whole heart. Lord, he had such a wholehearted devotion. Lord, I pray that as we are beginning this brand new year, that You will give us a holy resolve. Lord, many years have passed by. Lord, we have strayed. I pray that You will help us, Lord, individually, Lord, to humble ourselves before You, to truly cry out to You, so that You, Lord, will help us. Lord, forgive us. For 2004, we have grieved You much. Let us not justify before You. Let us humbly, Lord, confess our sins and, Lord, desire to turn from them. And this entire year, Lord, what a privilege it is to serve You. I pray, O God, let it start individually in our hearts. And then let it spread to our families. And then, O Lord, let it spread, Lord, collectively through our church also, Lord, to everyone, Lord, whom You will bring in our path. Lord, it is our heart that You fully desire, Lord. Please, O Lord, help us, O Lord, not to turn back. Let us not be like Lot's wife who stepped out of Sodom but turned back. Lord, let us not be like those Israelites, Lord, who grumbled. They did not inherit the promised land. They were just pretenders. Let us not be pretenders. Let us be possessors of eternal life. And we will know only by our actions, Lord, if we are pretenders or if we are possessors. Please, O Lord, seal these truths in our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen.